Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. As always, I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Fired up to be here with you guys. Got an awesome week. We continue our college football previews. Our final Big Ten team that we're previewing today, we're going to look at the reigning Big Ten champion, Oregon Ducks. Zach Neal going to join us here in a few minutes and talk some Oregon. We'll also continue to dive into the NFC South. We'll look at the Atlanta Falcons today and how their season outlook looks for the upcoming 2025-26 season. We'll talk some baseball today. We got a really good baseball slate on this Monday, and then we'll give out our favorite plays of the day. As always, we'd love to hear from you guys throughout the show today. Chime in at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. Any questions that you have, let us know, and we'll get to them throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Monday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Zach Neal. Give Zach a follow on X at Zachary C. Neal, Oregon Ducks beat reporter for USA Today's Duck Wire, and also the co-host of the Believe in Oregon podcast with Jonathan Stewart. Zach, great to have you on the show, man. Obviously, an awesome year for Oregon in the regular season last year. First year in the Big Ten, they win the Big Ten championship. They do lose a lot of key pieces, though, going into the season this upcoming year. If you had to maybe single out like a guy or two that you think they're going to miss the most for this upcoming season, who are some guys you think are going to be tough to replace?
There are so many. We were going through this before the show started, just kind of go through how many returning starters this team has. They lost a lot. I mean, they sent 10 guys to the NFL draft, had more graduate and sign with practice squad teams, stuff like that. So people are going to miss, obviously, Dylan Gabriel. Just first person, I mean, a Heisman finalist in New York for this ceremony. Replacing him with likely Dante Moore. I know they're saying there's a quarterback competition between Dante Moore and Austin Novosad. We'll see. I think it's going to be Dante Moore that gets that job. And then you know, keeping on the offense, Tez Johnson, your number one wide receiver. You expected to have Evan Stewart back for the number one wide receiver this year. He unfortunately got injured in spring training or spring ball. So he will be, you know, out for most likely the entire season. So some question marks there. And then the defense, I mean, you could look at really any position on this team. There's a lot of talent, but a lot of, you know, unproven talent. We got to see where it's coming from. It's a young team this year. So, you know, expectations are high. There's a ton of excitement in Eugene, but you got to see it on the field first. You know, there's a high ceiling here, but somewhat of a medium floor, just because we don't know what these guys can do yet.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned all the turnover. Zach, if there was one position group, one question mark for you, biggest question mark coming into the season, which group would that be for you?
I think it's got to be the wide receivers. I mean, you lose guys like Tez Johnson and Trayshon Holden, who, and I would just say the pass catchers in general, because I'm going to put tight end in there as well with Terrence Ferguson, one of the best tight ends in program history. You lose those three guys, you know, that's a lot of production to replace. Luckily, you thought you had Evan Stewart coming into this year who could take over as that wide receiver one. He got injured, so now it's like, okay, who steps up? You got five-star true freshman DeCorian Moore, who was the number one wide receiver in the 2025 class. There are incredibly high expectations for him. Oregon fans want him to be the next Jeremiah Smith. That's obviously setting a very, very high bar. But I think he's going to be good, and there's a bunch of other guys on this team. I mean, Dan Lanning recruits so well that there are blue-chip players all over this roster, especially in the wide receiver room. I think they'll step up, but I could go again to every position group and say, yeah, I think they'll be good, but we got to see it first. You know, it's been a tough year to kind of predict this team because there's just so many unknowns.
Who is the group amongst the skill players that you think really needs to step up this season? Because as you mentioned, Zach, they're losing a lot at receiver, tight end. They obviously have to replace Dylan Gabriel. They're replacing their top running back as well. Who do you think is the guy, the go-to guy, or the guy that needs to lead them amongst the skill position group this year?
I'm really focused on Kenyon Sadiq. Tight end Kenyon Sadiq. He is someone who I think Oregon fans have been waiting so anxiously for the past 2 years to just see him play. I mean, he hasn't had a ton of runway behind Terrence Ferguson because Terrence Ferguson was really good, but Sadiq, when he's gotten the ball, has flashed so well. I mean, he's hurdling guys in the Big Ten championship game, getting 2 touchdowns in that. Like, when he gets the ball, it's incredible. He's been, Oregon's offensive coordinator, Will Stein, says he thinks he's the best tight end in the nation. He's kind of compared him to Brock Bowers before, and not saying that he's as good as Brock Bowers, but he's that type of player, that type of game changer. So he's someone that, with the absence of Evan Stewart, I think he's going to have even more of a runway to step up. I could see him having a really big year, and he's only a junior, but with a big year, I think he could be a day one or day two draft pick next year.
Obviously, the quarterback is going to be a big question mark as well. We know Dante Moore was a highly touted recruit, goes to UCLA. Now, like you said, likely going to be starting for Oregon. It's interesting, Zach, because the last couple of years, Oregon's been really fortunate, as you know, to have Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel, two of the most experienced quarterbacks in college football we've seen here in a while, especially in the era that we're in now. So what do we expect out of Dante Moore? What have been the impressions early on? And are Oregon fans going into the season understanding they've had 2 quarterbacks under center the last couple of years with all this experience, and now there's certainly going to be some growing pains with Moore going into the season?
Yeah, it's kind of uncharted territory for this generation of Oregon fans under Dan Lanning, because you've had those, you know, 2 of the most experienced quarterbacks ever playing the last 2 years. So now you get Dante Moore, who, like you said, a really, really talented player. He just needs to show it. And so he's a different style of player than either Bo Nix or Dylan Gabriel were. They were much more kind of quarterback, like field generals, like, you know, they could scramble, they could run a bit when you needed them to. Dante Moore is different than that. He has a cannon for an arm. He's going to take shots down the field. He's going to throw interceptions, which is not something you could say of Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel. He's probably not going to run, get out of the pocket quite as much. He's not going to, get your 30 to 40-yard gains like Bo Nix or Dylan Gabriel would. But I think he's going to open up an element of this offense that we haven't seen in the past couple of years under Will Stein, where, you know, there was a lot of screens, a lot of short bubble screens, you know, 5-yard outs, not much over the middle of the field. Dante Moore's going to do that because he's a bigger-sized quarterback. He's got a rocket arm, and he's got all of the confidence in the world. I think that there's going to be some growing pains, as you would expect with any, you know, sophomore quarterback, but I think that's okay. When you're getting these deep shots, at least you're taking the deep shots. I think fans are excited to see that.
We're talking with Zach Neal here on Send It In. Give Zach a follow on X at Zachary C. Neal, Oregon Ducks beat reporter for USA Today's Ducks Wire and co-host of Believe in Oregon podcast with Jonathan Stort. All right, Zach, let's dive into the schedule now that Oregon has for this season. Obviously, the game that jumps out, kind of like last year when they hosted Ohio State at home, the game that jumps out this year is the road trip to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. The over-under at BetMGM for the Ducks is 10.5, so expecting them to probably win about 10 games this season. The over is plus 120. Penn State game, certainly the game that jumps out. That's going to be a tough one to win. Outside of that game, what is the game or two on their schedule that you look at and you think could be a tricky game for them to navigate?
Yeah, I'm looking at the end of the season. They host USC, and then they go to Washington. Those are 2 games that I'm really intrigued by. I mean, we know what's kind of taken place between Oregon and Washington over the past few years. That was Dan Lanning's biggest bugaboo until this last year. Obviously, Washington had a down year. I think they're going to be a lot better this year than they were last year. That's not to say that they're going to be the 2023 version of themselves again, but I think they'll be a solid team, and Washington is not an easy place to play. So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the USC game late in the year. I'm also curious to see what Iowa and Indiana can do. You got to go on the road to Iowa. That's not an easy place to play. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what they can do, like what Iowa is under, I think, Mark Gronowski this year. Like, what does that offense look like? I don't know. Could be decent, at least. So, and then, yeah, Indiana with Kurt Cignetti, it should be a fun team once again. So those are just some games I have on the schedule that I'm curious about. But, yeah, that Week 5 game against Penn State, that's the one you circle, the Big Ten championship rematch from last year. That should be a really fun one. Whiteout and Happy Valley, can't get better than that.
Yeah, so true. Excited for that one. Real quick, back to Dante Moore. Bo Nix could have won the Heisman a couple of years ago. He was the front runner going in to the Pac-12 title game. And then last year, Dillon Gabriel was the favorite going into the season, had a great year. With Dante Moore, just because of that system and how many points Oregon should put up and if he kind of elevates everybody around him, is there a path for him to win the Heisman, Zach? Or do you think there's just too much that has to go right for him to win the award this year?
There's definitely a path. I mean, if you're playing quarterback at Oregon and you're in Will Stein's system, yeah, like you said, you're going to put up points and you're going to have eyeballs on you as well. And the players on this team, they seem to believe it as well. I mean, it was last year in Rose Bowl media day, like before the Rose Bowl, Tez Johnson came out and said, Dante Moore is going to be a Heisman finalist next year, calling it right now. Like, you don't see what we see in practice. This kid's amazing. Then earlier this year, DeCorian Moore, the true freshman receiver, was on a podcast saying, like, I think he's going to win it this year. Like, I have seen this guy play quarterback. I think he's incredible. So, you know, that's a lot to ask of a first-year starter, a redshirt sophomore. If I were to put money on it, I'd say maybe next year's Heisman instead of this year's Heisman. But I think he definitely has the chance to be in the running, could maybe make it to New York with a special season. But, yeah, he's going to be a really good player. We'll see if it all gets put together this year.
And, Zach, I'll leave you with this. If you had to choose a bet, would you take Oregon to win the Big Ten again, or would you look at them to win the national championship for the upcoming year if you had to pick one of those bets to take?
I think that the Big Ten is more likely. I've been asked that question. I've been asked if this is a championship year by friends and family over the past year. It's like, I don't think this is the championship year. I think next year is the championship year, just because they're so young this year. I mean, give them a chance to get their feet wet, prove it a little bit. Then next year they're going to be, you know, I think should be one of the top teams in the nation going into the year once again. If I'm going to take a bet on this year, you said the over-under is 10.5.
Yep.
I like the over there because I think that, you know, I would pencil in a loss against Penn State and Happy Valley, but I think I see them winning every other game on their regular season schedule. I would go 11-1 for the year. I would take the over, especially if it's plus money.
Yeah, plus 120. Great stuff. Zach Neal, great catching up with him, talking Oregon Ducks. Give him a follow on X at Zachary C. Neal, Oregon Ducks beat reporter for USA Today's Ducks Wire and the co-host of Believe in Oregon podcast with Jonathan Storr. Zach, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the season. Hope to catch up again soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In as we preview the Oregon Ducks schedule for the upcoming season. And again, Oregon's non-conference schedule, really not all that difficult. You open the season up against Montana State. You got Oklahoma State at home. And then they have the Civil War week 4 at home against Oregon State. So no difficult like road trips in the non-conference. Everything's going to be in Eugene at home. They should win all of those games. Their home schedule within the Big Ten is pretty easy, too. They avoid Ohio State this year. They avoid Ohio State and Michigan this year. They do have the game against USC at home. They have the game against Indiana at home as well. Those would probably be the two Big Ten home conference games that you would look at and you think could be a little bit tricky. But the road schedule is what's interesting for Oregon this year. Last year, their first year in the Big Ten, Oregon didn't have to travel to the East Coast. No road trips against Rutgers, no road trips against Maryland, Penn State, any of those teams on the East Coast. They did have to go to the Midwest. They had to play a game at Purdue, at Wisconsin, and Michigan. They had to play some games in the Midwest, but nothing on the East Coast. This year, though, they do have to make that cross-country flight to take on Rutgers, so that could be an interesting travel spot. But then certainly the road games that jump out at you, the one that we were talking about at Penn State, but also at Iowa, could be a difficult game as well. Kinnick is not an easy place to play, especially for teams that are not used to it. Now, with the Big Ten, you never know if that's going to be the Fox Noon Big Noon kickoff game, if that's going to be the NBC primetime game. I'm sure Oregon fans are hoping that it's the Big Noon kickoff game, because a night game at Kinnick with a ranked team in there, that's where ranked teams go to die, especially top five teams. So that could be a tricky game on the schedule as well. But again, the home schedule, Indiana, Wisconsin at home, Minnesota at home, they should take care of business. And then Rutgers on the road, Northwestern on the road. You have Iowa, Penn State, as well. And then Washington at home, or at Washington, and then USC to end the season. Zach was right. Those two Pac-12 games at the end of the year, home against USC. USC-Oregon throughout the year is whenever USC has played Oregon in Eugene, they've always played them tough. I think Lincoln Riley's team could surprise some people this year. They had a lot of games last year that didn't go their way. Maybe those games do go their way this year. They can pull off an upset. And then a rivalry game in Seattle, Oregon, Washington, that game should come down to the wire and be pretty close as well. I know Zach said he would go over 10.5 wins, thinking Oregon's going to go 11-1. I would actually bet the under. I feel really good about Oregon losing to Penn State. We talked about it last week when we were previewing Penn State. I mean, you guys, Penn State's going to have 4 weeks to prep for that game. They play absolutely nobody in the non-conference, and then they have a bye week before taking on Oregon. Oregon does not have a bye week before taking on Penn State. They have to play a rivalry game against Oregon State in the Civil War, and then have to travel across the country and take on Penn State. So there's so many reasons to like Penn State in that game. Also, another interesting part of Oregon's schedule as well, they play four teams this year who are coming off their bye week. You see that a lot with Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, those teams getting that respect where teams want to use their bye week before getting ready for those teams. You're starting to see teams do that now with Oregon, where they want to take their bye week and get prepped before facing the Ducks. So I think that's another thing that you have to keep in mind as well. Oregon's going to play a couple teams that are going to be rested, have 2 weeks of preparation, getting ready before they play the Ducks. So I do like the under. You have to lay minus 145 for the 10.5. But as Zach said, I think next year is the year to buy into Oregon again. This is kind of the rebuilding year. At Oregon, you really never rebuild. You just reload because of how talented they are and how many NFL dudes. Dan Lanning's a madman on the recruiting trail. So it'll never be a full rebuild, but it certainly feels like this year is the year where Oregon kind of builds the foundation again, leading into next year where they should have a lot of these guys returning, a lot of these underclassmen, and then next year they're kind of be the Oregon team that we saw last year, ready to win a national title. But the schedule is tricky. I think they lose the Penn State game. I think they lose a game or even two more in the season. Would not shock me if Oregon went 9-3 this year or 10-2. So I think the under is the bet. I don't like Oregon to win the Big Ten. I don't like them to win the national championship as well. If I were to bet one of the two, though, I probably would bet Oregon to win the national championship because, again, I do think they go 9-3, 10-2 this season. They do play Penn State, so if Penn State wins and they beat them, they own that tiebreaker against Oregon. And maybe the Ducks are one of those teams that benefit from you necessarily don't win your division, so instead you get like the 9 or 10 seed in the college football playoff, kind of avoid the top half of the bracket in the college football playoff, and maybe they could make a run that way later on in the season. I really don't think this Oregon team wins the Big Ten or the national championship, though, and like I told you, I would take their under win total at 10.5. Dante Moore to win the Heisman, that could be a little intriguing if he turns out to be really good, but without Evan Stewart, that injury is such a big loss. They have so many young weapons. I just think it takes Oregon a little bit. And if you're going to win the Heisman, you need your quarterback to play his best in the biggest games. I mean, his second career road start is going to be at Penn State, and he's not going to have a bye week to get ready for that game. I think it's going to be tough. So I'm looking to fade Oregon this upcoming season. They're going to be really good, but not at the prices that we're getting them at. All right, let's talk a little NFL now. Let's dive into the Atlanta Falcons for the upcoming season. This is the third team now that we're previewing in the NFC South. We looked at the Panthers on Thursday. We looked at the Saints on Friday. And now we're looking at the Atlanta Falcons. And again, all these NFC South schedules are pretty easy. You do have to play the NFC West this season. You do have to play the AFC East this season. But I think the teams that Atlanta are getting at home and compared to on the road is much more beneficial than some of the other teams in the NFC South that have to play these teams on the road, right? So, for example, Atlanta is going to get Buffalo, they're going to get the Rams, and they're going to get the Seahawks at home this year. They do get the 49ers on the road, but some of these other teams, they're going to have to play at Seattle, at the Rams, at Buffalo. Obviously don't want that. The three hardest games, I think, on the Falcons' schedule coming into the season is going to be the Commanders, the Bills, the Niners, and the Rams. And they play three of those four games at home. And obviously, when you're dealing with the NFC South, you have all those teams that have to travel across the country and play 10 a.m. local time kickoffs, right? So that's going to be the case for the Rams. That's going to be the case for the Seahawks as well. So a big advantage there for Atlanta, which should be probably two of the three best teams in the NFC West. A lot of people high on the Rams for the upcoming season. I do think Atlanta, though, is the most talented team in this division. We didn't get a big sample size from Michael Penix. We only saw him play the final 3 weeks of the regular season. But from what we did see, I think he's going to be pretty good. And what helps him out is the fact that he's got one of the best running backs in all of the NFL in Bijan Robinson, who should have a monster year. Drake London is a terrific wide receiver. And now that he's got Penix throwing to him, a guy that can actually air the ball out down the field, I think that's going to be huge for Drake London. Like, Bijan and Drake London, Bijan certainly isn't a crazy look for AP Offensive Player of the Year, but Drake London could be a sneaky look, and I would look to attack him in fantasy leagues this year. Drake is solid, man. He's durable. He's consistent. He's a great route runner. He's a good deep threat. He's also good over the middle of the field. I mean, you guys watched the Falcons last year. It was a pitiful watch when Cousins was out there. They just could not push the ball down the field, and he was such a statue. So now Penix gets some experience in the NFL, and now he goes into this upcoming season knowing that he's going to be the number one guy, and the team knows that he's going to be the number one guy as well. So I think that's a big benefit. Obviously, I don't love Raheem Morris all that much as a coach because of his clock management. I mean, there were so many situations last year where he was abysmal trying to navigate the clock at the end of the two-minute warning, first half, end of the game, whatever it may be. So that is definitely a concern as well. But I do like this Atlanta Falcons team, and I do think they end up winning the division. I would look at them to win the NFC South at plus 240. A lot of it, again, has to do, I think they have a pretty favorable schedule. I think they have the best team in the division. But also, a lot of it's processed by elimination. The Saints, we know, is going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Panthers, talked about it last week. I think Bryce Young could be going along that Trevor Lawrence trajectory where you have an unbelievable last 6-7 games of the season. You're a number one pick. Everybody's getting excited. And then you fall back down the previous year. I worry about that with Carolina. And then Tampa, certainly the team to beat in this division. But Baker Mayfield loses another offensive coordinator to a head coaching job in Liam Cohen. Tristan Wirfs is going to be injured to start the year. I just think too much change, some key injuries, is going to hurt Tampa Bay. And Atlanta does get them at home to kick off the season. You win that game, obviously going to be massive. Then you're at Minnesota and at Carolina. So two of their first three games are going to be against division opponents, likely the two division opponents that they're going to be battling against in the NFC South this year. I would keep an eye on the Atlanta Falcons. I like them to win the NFC South. I'd rather bet them to win the division at plus 240 than bet them to make the playoffs at plus 150. There certainly is a scenario where two teams out of the NFC South could make it to the playoffs because of how much carnage we could get in the other divisions. I think every other division in the NFC, I could easily see three teams or even all four teams making it to the playoffs. NFC West, I could see any one of those four teams making it to the playoffs. NFC North, I could see any of those four teams. And then the NFC East, I could see all the teams but the Giants making it to the playoffs. So the NFC South should be very competitive this year, which is why I think it's going to be tough for this division to get two teams in. I'd rather just bet the Falcons to win the division at plus 240. I'd stay away from the win total, stay away from them to win the NFC, win the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to do that. But I do like them to win this division and get into the postseason. So I'd look at Atlanta to win the NFC South at plus 240. All right, let's talk a little baseball here on Send It In, a little big league piece. We got a full slate today on this Monday. And we will start with the Orioles and the Guardians. The O's in Cleveland tonight. The total is 9. You have BB on the mound going up against Sagano. You guys know I'm an Orioles fan, and it feels like every time Sagano takes the mound, the Yerfy is always the play. He really gets off to a slow start in a lot of these games and then tends to settle in the 5th, 6th inning. but he hasn't been settling in all that much. But the Yerfi has been the consistent theme throughout the season. Yerfi minus 110 tonight. We're going to take that in O's and Guardians. Tigers and Pirates tonight. Good pitching matchup. Flaherty against Skeens. I mean, you guys know when Paul Skeens is on the mound, we just bet the first five under. It's 3.5 tonight. I'm going back to the well because Skeens usually gives up zero or one run in the first five, and the Pirates usually don't get him any run support. It's usually 1-0 every single game after five innings, first five under 3.5 tonight. Padres and Marlins, this is an interesting spread. Randy Vasquez on the mound for San Diego. You got Yuri Perez going for Miami. Marlins are a favorite tonight at minus 135. Marlins have very quietly been playing good baseball. They're a team to keep an eye on going into next season. I like some of the young bats, young pitchers that they have on their team. But the Padres are obviously battling for a wild card spot. They're coming off of a sweep against the Nats. And here they are, underdogs to the surging Marlins. I'll take Miami tonight at minus 135. Red Sox and Phillies in Philadelphia. Zach Wheeler going up against Walker Buehler. Wheeler squarely in the mix with Paul Skeens for that NL Cy Young Award. Phillies minus 220 tonight on the money line, and they're -1.5, -105 on the run line. I just think there's too much value there on Boston at minus 115 at +1.5. Even though Philly's got the clear pitching advantage, I would pick Boston to keep it close, maybe even win the game. We'll take Sox +1.5. Reds and Nationals tonight in D.C. This is a fishy line. Brady Singer going up against Jake Irvin. Obviously, the Nats are a mess. Get rid of the manager. Get rid of the GM. Swept out of the All-Star break. Now they got to play a Cincinnati Reds team that's playing really good baseball. They're only plus 100, though, tonight. I'm staying away. It would only be Nats or pass for me, but I don't know if I can get to the window there with Washington. Massive series starting tonight in Toronto between the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Carlos Rodon going up against Kevin Gausman. I'm going to take the Yankees and Rodon. I like the Yankees to win the division. If they are going to win the division, they probably need to win two or three in this series. It starts tonight with Rodon, who's been really good for them. Give me the Yankees on the money line. Angels and Mets tonight in Citi Field. I'm going to take the Mets on the run line at -1.5. They got their ace, Kodai Senga, going. Took a game from the Reds. That was a big game to avoid the sweep. I think they win by multiple runs tonight. Give me the Mets on the run line. Giants and Braves tonight in Atlanta. Hayden Burnsong against Bryce Elder. Going to pass on that one. White Sox and Rays tonight in Tampa. Shane Baz against Sean Burke. Also going to pass on that game. No place for me in either of those. Royals and Cubs tonight. With the wind blowing in at Wrigley, the total is 7.5 with Noah Cameron going up against the Cubbies. Cameron was so good to start the year. Teams are starting to figure it out a little bit. I know the wind is blowing in. It's a night game, but I'm going to take the over 7.5 tonight in Chicago. A's and Rangers in Texas. Texas only minus 125 on the money line with Jack Leiter on the mound. I'm going to take the Rangers. Cardinals are only minus 150 tonight on the road in Denver, taking on the Rockies at Coors Field with Austin Gomber on the mound. Give me St. Louis minus 150. Astros and D-backs, Zach Gallen on the mound against Chris Gordon. I'll take the under 9 in this matchup tonight. Brewers and Mariners, this will be a fun series as well. Brewers have won 10 straight games. They just swept the Dodgers, and yet they're underdogs tonight in Seattle going up against George Kirby. I think the fact that the Brewers are dogs, this is where the streak ends. Give me Seattle on the money line. And then Twins-Dodgers tonight in L.A. You have Ohtani going up against David Festa. I'll take the Dodgers, who got swept by Milwaukee. I'll take them to bounce back tonight at minus 170. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM, brought to you by the King of Sportsbooks. Make sure you guys take advantage of your odds boost token in the NBA tonight, so you can look at that. All right, PJ's plays here on Send It In as we wrap up the show with our best bets. We will start with Aaron Judge. He's going to be our guy tonight for going streaking. 16 for 43 in his career against Kevin Gausman. Judge obviously having a terrific year. He's the favorite to win AL MVP. This is where the captain shows up. Your team needs to win this series. Big game tonight. I think Judge shows up, get a base hit. He'll be our play in going streaking. My prop lock, I told you guys to take the Yerfi in Orioles Guardians with Sagano on the mound. We're also going to take Sagano over 2.5 earned runs tonight against Cleveland. I think Cleveland scores about 3 or 4 off him, so we'll take the over as our prop lock. Dog of the day, give me the Atlanta Falcons to win the NFC South at plus 240. I like the Falcons a lot in this division. You know, I just think process of elimination, you can throw out the Saints. I don't think the Panthers are going to take that next step that it feels like a lot of people do. And then Tampa Bay losing Liam Cohen, I think is going to be big for Baker Mayfield and that offense. Also, life without Tristan Wirfs to start the season as well. Give me Atlanta plus 240 to win that division. And then my best bet is going to be the Seattle Mariners on the money line at minus 125. George Kirby going up against Brandon Woodruff tonight. Brewers have won 10 straight games. They just swept the Dodgers. Yet here they are, underdogs on the road tonight. They've won 10 straight games. They're due for a loss. I think they lose tonight. Give me Seattle money line at minus 125. Once again, Judges are playing, going streaking. Sagano over 2.5 earned runs is our prop lock. Falcons to win the NFC South is our dog of the day. And Mariners money line minus 125 is going to be our best bet. Thanks again to Zach Neal for joining us today on the show. We'll start previewing the SEC and the Georgia Bulldogs coming up tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.